It's the end of break. It's the only time I can grab some time to have a conversation with a speaker. And I've very luckily got hold of Mary Williams, who just did a talk. She is Geek underscore Manager on Twitter. And I was enlightened by the term seagull management. Tell me again what that means.
So seagull management is the style of management where you fly in, shout at everybody, shit on everything, and then fly away again. So it's not something to aspire to at all.
I think this is why I'm so unemployable now. I have had those managers.
Yes, I think everybody has, which is why it always gets a good laugh, because it's very recognisable to pretty much everybody.
You mentioned a couple of books, and you talked about a lot of kind of really interesting theories in practice about management. Can you summarise?
I think the summary is that people really need four things in order to feel like they've got an awesome a space to be awesome in. That's purpose, so believing in the why of what they're doing. Autonomy, having some chance to get a say in what they're doing. Mastery, feeling like the how they're doing it is high quality and that they're proud of how they're working. And then inclusion, so feeling like they belong in the place that they are, so that they enjoy it.
So what kind of managers pick this up? What kind of people actually come in, listen to you, for example, consult, and actually go away and go, I can do this?
I often say that if you care about your people, I can teach you everything else, or you can learn everything else. And I think that's the fundamental requirement. The only people I've seen who've consistently failed to develop ways of leading and managing teams that are successful are the people who just don't actually care about the human beings that they're interacting with. But very luckily, that's largely not a problem. Most people do care and just need almost permission to care. There's a lot of traditional management where you've been told that you have to be the boss, and that means that your word is unassailable, and you have to have a plan for the next 12 months, and it's all command and control. And the reality of our world today is, if you have a 12-month plan, the only thing guaranteed is that it's got to change. There's no way that you're just going to execute it on it as written down at the beginning of those 12 months. And I think that's the people who accept change and care about their people, they tend to do better by adopting some of the more modern management approaches.
It's amazing, isn't it, in the time of us talking about fluidity and being agile, that anybody could even consider a 12-month plan now.
Yeah, but a surprising number of people do. And so a surprising number of people are still doing what in project management you kind of call a deadline first, plan second as well, which is to sign up to something impossible. And, ambition and purpose is great, but when you sign your people up to a deadline that they've had that they've got no say in, with a fixed scope and a fixed budget, then you're basically telling them that they have no say in the work that's being done. And that's incredibly demotivating for people. And in a way that's quite corrosive over time. So.
There used to be a stat batted around real high-level management and how a large percentage of them had psychotic tendencies. Do you remember that?
I think it was sociopathic, but yes, that actually a number
without
of,
the axe.
Yeah, a number of the character traits are similar. I think that's changing, though. It's very interesting to see some of the changes that are happening in order to have more diversity on boards as well, because it's a... If you're going to interact with people who aren't like yourself, you have to adapt in some way, and people with those kind of tendencies don't tend to adapt themselves for others, and so it's interesting to see some of them falling a little bit. I think we had a fairly unproductive, possibly unhelpful a view of what a senior CEO style person looked like and what they did, and it was very similar to a kind of a military figure. And in the modern world, that just doesn't really seem to work. We don't command our employees, or if we try, they don't tend to stay our employees that long.
Do men and women naturally manage in the same way?
I think men and women are socialised from a very, very early age to act in different ways. And so there's some interesting research that shows that even if men and women do act in the same way, the way that it's experienced and the way that it's judged by others is very different. And so There's a fascinating study, I think, a professor at Harvard did, where he took a case study, and a written one, and the only thing he changed was the name and the gender of the protagonist in it. Handed it out half and half to the class, and the male character, everybody came back going, oh, you know, he's tough but fair, and he's a guy I'd like to work for, and he's who you want to follow into a tough business situation. And the female character was, well, she gets it done, but she's a bitch, and I wouldn't want to work for her. And I'm paraphrasing horribly, but I think that even if people did manage in exactly the same way, it's not taken in exactly the same way, and so that leads to people needing to adjust their style and their behaviour. But you see that culturally as well. People need to adjust to the cultural context that they're working within. It's very different working in a multicultural organisation than a single culture organisation as well. And so I think that the most successful leaders are good at adapting to their organisation and to or good at finding the organisation that they can lead. So there are people who are one-trick ponies and that they can only lead people like themselves, and the much more inspiring leaders, in my opinion, are the ones who can take a diverse group and get the most out of all of them. And that's sometimes about getting the most out of people in different ways and helping them to deliver in different ways.
And it is fascinating to me how change is happening so fast in so many sectors, but where it really needs to happen, it seems to be taking a millennia.
Yeah, I think we always, hindsight's always 2020, right? So we always look back and go, if only we'd done that better. But I also think that we... one of the things that's wonderful in tech is that the current state of the art is very well publicised. What isn't always the case is that the current state of the art in terms of what good management looks like, a lot of people, by the time they become a manager, they were managed by people who formed their way of managing 10 years before that, and they formed it based on who managed them 10 years before that. And so I think we need to get better at sharing not just the tech state of the art but all of this surrounding stuff. So how do we run our operations? How do we manage people? How do we develop people? And you know, I went from being a developer of code to a developer of people, and that's how I view what I do. And I need to be just as up to date with how to do that well as I was up to date with how to build systems well.
Do you miss the code?
I still code, so I really am a geek and a manager. So I do still I wouldn't. I wouldn't be doing anything live in production anytime soon because I'm not sure that I'm certainly aware of when my team are more expert than me. But
you don't need to. You've got stuff in space.
that is true as well. we lost contact with Sunset though, so it's not like I can actively ping it. But
nothing to do with the soldering.
No, it wasn't my bit. Wasn't my bit that broke.
It's quite incredible extraterrestrial technology, and extraterrestrial. And let's just say outer space. It's not from another planet. From right here. You are from right here.
I am from I'm from Cape Town, so it's not quite Newcastle, but it's lovely as well.
The two books you mentioned, they inspired you particularly. Can you mention them again?
The first is a book called Talent is Overrated, which is all about what. Basically, the talent doesn't really exist, it's possible to develop any skill, which I think is particularly useful for people like me who probably didn't have many soft skills growing up. And I wrote a blog post recently about, you know, perfectly rational people seem to believe in the soft skills fairy, where, like, you know, unless you were touched at birth with the magic wand of the soft skills fairy, you're never going to be able to do people-y stuff. And I think that's just, you know, not true at all. And it's much better if people know that. The other book is called First Break All the Rules, which is a fantastic book based on a very wide-ranging database study into management techniques, into high-performing teams. So how teams that perform better in business ways, what their managers do differently, and how that makes them perform so much more strongly. And so it's not just how do you make people happy, but also how do you make them the highest performing in your organization, which is, you know, the combination of those two seeming to come together is fantastic, right? People being happy and the best is always a brilliant thing to be aiming for.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for your talk today. And you are, again, geek_manager on Twitter. Mary Williams.
Thanks very much.